Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show. Frank Napolitano, Paul Rushforth usually here, but listen, it's not all bad news, you know. Interest rates are going up. The price of homes are getting tougher to sell, but we have Dora today.
There's your ray of sunshine, everybody. You're welcome.
See, we knew
Paul is usually here. Is that what you said? Paul is usually here.
Sorry, that was it's kind of like a typo, but in my mind.
He was here for a week.
For 1 week in a row.
In a row. That's right.
That's right. No, he's got a good. He's out with his mommy today, so that's good.
Oh, that's right. Yes. The big mom birthday or anniversary? Birthday, right?
Birthday.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Paul's mom.
Colleen,
Yes.
That's right.
I think she's still practicing, is she? She's a real estate also, right?
Yes, she does. Yep.
And our condolences on your son. All right, Frank, I guess we start with you, the elephant in the room.
1 full percentage point. Wow. Nobody saw that coming. And I mean, nobody. Then again, nobody saw interest rates going up, prime rate and fixed rates going up as quickly as they have this year. There's a lot of heat being put on ACLM right now, the Bank of Canada governor, because just a short, less than 12 months ago, he came out and told Canadians, go ahead, interest rates are going to remain low for a long time. And lo and behold, I think businesses are hurting now. Keep in mind, I mean, we talk about the mortgage end of it, which is anybody with a variable rate mortgage has been impacted, but so have a lot of businesses, because a lot of businesses run on lines of credit, and lines of credits are based on prime rate. So, and there's also a lot of commercial buildings that are based on prime rate. The mortgage is based on prime rate. So this is costing businesses a lot of money as well.
So what are we at now? 4.25?
4.25? No, 4.70% for prime rate.
So your rate, you can get 4.25 though.
Well, it depends on your circumstances. Again, I mean, the days of quoting you a rate based on here's what the rate is are not around anymore. If you're buying a home with less than 20% down, you can still get prime minus 1%, which would get you to 3.7, which is still pretty reasonable. Fixed rates, we actually have a lender, again, same scenarios. If you buy a home with less than 20% down, we have one lender that's still at a couple of lenders that are under 5, but one specifically at 4.79%, which, crazy as it sounds,
is a bargain.
You know, it's like the gas prices. It sounds like it's a good rate, even though 12 months ago we were at 1.89 or 1.99. So, but it's the same thing as we say about gas. I mean, we hit $2 and now that we're at $1.65, we think we're getting a deal when we're really not.
Dora, big impact on the market?
Well, big impact on the market. I mean, I think if you look at a 1% rate increase, I think, and Frank, please correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's about $50 for every 100,000. Mm-hmm. So any difference in buying power? And I mean, a few short months ago, we were in a market where supply or lack of supply was the dominant factor affecting the housing market. And now I think it's the cost of borrowing that seems to have overtaken as the greatest influence on our market. You know, and this in turn has led to higher supply. We're at about 2 months supply versus, you know, days to weeks of supply. And buyers don't have that fear of missing out anymore. So they're taking their time. They're sort of being, you know, pragmatic about where they want to live. They're thinking about all sorts of things. And they sort of feel like they've got room to breathe and exhale. Some buyers are taking their time. Some buyers in some cases are, you know, are not waiting on the sidelines. They're jumping in, because if you look at what happened last June, July, similar, where we trended towards a much more traditional market. And so some of those folks, you know, waited through last summer, hoping it would dip some more, and it didn't. And so they missed out then, and they're hoping not to miss out now. So a little bit of everything right now in the market, but generally speaking, I think it's affected the number of people that can buy and the price at which they can buy.
And at the same time, it's also impacted. The biggest impact has been to first-time home buyers, who generally are the ones that spur the market on. So if your first-time home buyers are out, because they simply can't afford to buy, either based on the fact that the prices are still elevated from what's happened the last 2 years, or the interest rates are three times what they were a short 12 months ago. So you add those two together, and once the first-time home buyers are out of the market, who else gets eliminated? The ones that were first-time home buyers 5 years ago that have built up some nice equity because the values of their homes going up over the last 2 years, and they've got a significant down payment. But unfortunately, even though there's homes out there now for them to buy, the problem is selling their home. And I think it just, again, it just snowballs from there.
That's right. Well, we saw activity go down about 30%, nearly 30% in number of sales in June this past year. June. That's right. And that's the lowest number of transactions, you know, slowest pace we've seen in over a decade in Ottawa, which is, it could be alarming, but it's also just by contrast to how busy and chaotic it's been the last couple of years. So we are normalizing. We're a little bit below the five-year average. And if you look, you know, last June, we were 12%. In March, we were up 12% above the five-year average, and now we're below the five-year average. So it changes quite quickly, or it has changed quite quickly.
Dora, any chance downsizers will take over for that first-time buyer market?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, the thing about downsizers is that the cost of a larger home has seen a bit of an impact. And I think, like, you know, Ottawa is different than Canada when it comes to resale market. We can't compare ourselves to some of the other cities. Ottawa doesn't perform as a whole. So every price point, as well as every neighborhood, has its own unique sort of mini market. So depending on where you are downsizing from, that I think, you know, people will in turn go, because the homes that they're looking to buy, there was a point where a larger home and a home that you were downsizing to, there wasn't really that much of a delta. And at this point, we're seeing a bit more of a price differential, and that's allowing some people to downsize. Yes, but it depends where you live and what you are moving from.
Yeah, but are people downsizing to condos or no?
I think condos have always been very popular with people who are downsizing, just the lack of maintenance and everything else. And condo prices, you know, they're at about 1% higher than they were this time last year. So pretty steady. I think, though, that my experience, at least, is that people who are downsizing still prefer to have a little bit of a yard. And I think that's where we're seeing the linked bungalows doing really well with our aging population.
Well, you just have to convince them to go to condos, Dora. There's condos available. Then they could travel, leave the place alone.
Yeah. Well, some of those are kind of single-handedly, I will influence the entire downsizing market in Ottawa.
Frank, I guess this is the wrong time to take advantage of equity in your home, given what the rates are, huh?
Well, it's not the wrong time. If you renewed your mortgage over the last 2 years, I think that you're in a position where you've built up some good equity, and you know, you just may not, you know, if you did your mortgage over the last 2 years, you've got historically low interest rates. So what you want to do at this point is you want to get a secured line of credit as opposed to touching your mortgage, because most banks will try and take advantage of the situation that you're at such a low rate that they'll, you know, some of the banks will do a blend and extend based on posted rates. Now, what's very interesting is that the banks haven't changed their posted rate, which is absolutely mind-blowing that that's happened. Because now, that being said, again, you know, like we've said before, they leave their posted rates the way they are because then they give you a big discount, and if you want to break it early, you're going to pay the interest rate differential. I think they've just figured out that with interest rates so high right now, it doesn't really make a difference, because the interest rate differential is going to come into play anyway. If we do go into this potentially global recession that everybody's calling for next year, and rates start to plummet, it'll be difficult if you take a five-year fix to get out of the mortgage, because the penalty is going to be based on interest rate differential anyway. So hence why I think, you know, again, and I say to most clients, if you believe that a recession is forthcoming, take a variable. I know there's still some volatility within it, but I think it makes sense to take a variable rate mortgage if you believe that a recession is coming, because if a recession is on its way, then lower interest rates are on their way as well. So, but again, people are nervous today because nobody saw, including myself, this kind of change in interest rates in such a short period of time.
I don't think it's ever happened, has it?
I don't know, not in my lifetime. I mean, I was around, the double digits.
A long time?
17 and 18. Yeah.
Ooh, zing from Steve, Dora.
I was just a teenager. Steve was married with kids probably when that happened.
I think I had grandkids.
But, those days, and people say, what if we get back to those days? It's like, well, that's virtually impossible. We're already starting to see the impact of interest rates at 5%, how much impact, and the inflation, everything else, how much impact it's having on the economy. So for them to get much higher than this, I would think will do some severe damage, and they're just going to have to backtrack. And again, it's going to make Tiff Macklem look even dumber if he has to all of a sudden reverse and go all the way down again. So, I think, the September 7th is the next one. I think we got to see some data over the next 6 weeks before we know. I mean, right now, the economists are calling for another bump, but this time they're calling for 0.25% or 0.5%. But the Feds in the U.S. are planning on a 1% hike as well, their next announcement. So, and then we'll see what happens after that. But the bond markets, to be fair, the bond markets have stabilized this week. So as much as they were calling for 0.75 and they did a 1 percentage point, the bond markets haven't been affected too much.
Yeah, but the state's inflation is 9.1% now.
Well, again, I mean, it's compared to what we were at a year ago. And I don't like that they're doing that either. I mean, maybe, the guide should be 6 months and not a year, because I think, the inflation year over year is going to continue to be high. Then if that's the case, then prepare for another 6 months of significant increases, because really the inflation really started coming into play at the beginning of 2022.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back, hopefully with some better news. We'll find some ray of sunshine.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Frank and Dora. To the phones we go, and say hello to James in Orleans. Hello, James.
Hello, how are you guys?
Oh, we couldn't be better.
Hi, James.
Get the Paul vacation today.
Crazy. Quick question for you. Now, we're coming to retire probably next year. We still have a bit of a mortgage on, and we're leasing a vehicle. So we were just debating if, especially with the way the rates are going, get a one-year mortgage maybe. So if we do get, win the lottery, we can pay off the mortgage. It's going to be around 1/4 the mortgage.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, we were leasing a vehicle, so we were just trying to, lower some payments over, for when we retire. So I was just wondering your idea on that.
Well, again, so it sounds like even at retirement, you still have a mortgage left over, which, again, I mean, I've been saying for the last few months, there's nothing wrong with that. I think the days of thinking that you should be able to retire and have no mortgage, I mean, it's nice if it happens, but I don't think it's as critical as it used to be. Your house has probably gone up, depending on where you live. Your house has gone up between $100,000 to $250,000 in the last 2 years. So you've got way more equity than you probably planned for or planned to have 2 years ago. But in your circumstance, I think, again, if you're trying to lower your payments, what I would suggest is re-amortize your mortgage. I mean, if you're retiring and you still want to continue a certain lifestyle, I would still recommend taking a five-year variable. Listen, if you win a lottery, you can pay it off with 3 months interest. I think a variable gives you more options than a one-year closed. If you're going to take a one-year fixed, and I think you're leaning towards a one-year fixed, hoping that a year from now rates will be lower and you'll be able to renew again, which kind of makes sense. If a recession is going to happen, that's absolutely what's going to happen, what's going to occur. But, I would still recommend you'll probably get a better rate with a five-year variable than you might with a one-year fixed. I know I saw one of the banks that upped the one-year fixed rate by 0.75 points this week. So,
wow.
So that's a significant increase. Depending on the rate, again, I mean, if I was in your shoes, I'd probably take a variable, because the variable also gives you the option to convert it to a fixed at any time.
Okay.
But I think the most important thing you should look at is the amortization and setting up your payments so that you're comfortable at retirement and still having the option to pay it down quickly if you want, but at least have smaller payments in place that allow you to continue to live a lifestyle that you want to.
Okay. So instead of converting it all over to the LOC and getting, because when you, I guess, lease a vehicle or even buy a vehicle, if you buy a used vehicle, I mean, you're going to be at, 7.5%?
Yeah, 7-8% probably. So agree. I mean, if you've got a leased vehicle and you've got the option to buy out the lease, you might want to buy out the lease, add it to the mortgage / line of credit. even within a home equity line of credit that you have, which bank are you with?
A TD.
TD, yeah. So even with TD, you could convert a home equity line of credit to a fixed or variable rate mortgage to get a better rate. The lines of credits are generally a prime plus a half.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to a variable rate mortgage, you'll likely get prime minus a half. So that's a 1% savings. And then you can amortize it based on what the payments are. And maybe you can account for another maybe 0.5% increase, 0.75% increase, and then set your payments that way.
Okay.
But with TD, by the way, so they've got what's called a true variable mortgage. So a variable rate mortgage allows you to choose your amortization and your payments, even though variable rate goes up or down, your payments remain the same throughout the whole term. So,
but you could get stung with that at the end though, right, Frank?
Well, you could, or you can't. Like, in other words, you're setting up the payment based on today's variable. If we do have a recession and the interest rates go down, having the same payment actually works to your favor, because now you're going to have more payments going to principal and less going to interest because the rates started to come down. So, you know, it goes both ways. But the likelihood is that, you know, if a recession were to, happen, you're going to see lower interest rates next year, and therefore you'll be able to take advantage of that.
Okay, great.
Hey, James, just before you go, I'm not as smart about this stuff as Frank is, but if you win the lottery, don't worry about the penalty.
Yeah, who cares? I would say the same thing. I think the penalty is the last thing you're going to worry about.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Call us though when you win.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Share the wealth.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, James. How are we at for listings now? Have we broken the 3,000 mark yet, Dora?
We sure did. So we're at 3,098 units for sale, 2,475 residential, 623 condos, and in that about 620 rentals, which is fairly consistent. But the thing to note is that the rental prices are increasing, with fewer people being able to afford, first-time homebuyers not being able to get into the market. We're seeing the rents increase and increase and increase.
So what's a rent for a townhome these days? About $2,400 bucks?
Again, depending on the area, you're looking at 21 to 24 would be pretty standard. 24 is a bit high, I think, but I think, you know, 23 is definitely achievable.
You know what the average rent in Manhattan is right now? Average rent? $5,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
See, so we're way ahead of the game.
That's right. We're way ahead of the game.
Manhattan, Steve. I love Ottawa. It's a beautiful city, but certainly not Manhattan.
Well, first I take Manhattan, then I take Berlin.
There you go. But yeah, no, we're definitely seeing the inventory increase. It's good news for buyers. The normalization is good news for buyers. It is a bit of an adjustment for sellers. You know, equilibrium is always harder once it flips to the other side, but sellers need to adjust, and realtors, I think, are adjusting, where we are seeing this process of underpricing homes really, really not be the case anymore. So, you know, in November 2019, homes were listed, there was a negotiation, prices sold, you know, 97.6%-ish of list price. And then, you know, through the pandemic, we saw this
craziness.
culture of underpricing homes, and all of the offers, and that came from the lack of inventory. And now we're seeing prices sort of, you know, go back to where market values are.
Hey, which is where it changes every day now.
It does change every day. It does change every day. It's still very good news for everyone. We're up from last year, this time last year, though we're down in the last 3 months, we're still up. And so equity gains in the last couple of years have been phenomenal for people.
But you better find a smart agent these days to be able to figure out what the market is doing and where your home should be priced and for how long.
Well, I think too, I mean, it's you need to adjust to this new normal, and you have to be much more strategic about pricing your home. You have to be more strategic about how you market it, and you have to be very strategic on how you prepare your home for sale. So we went through, you know, this cycle of where any home, regardless of finishings, regardless of updates, regardless of anything, would sell. And that's because there is more option, and because buyers are being a little pickier, that's no longer the case. So it is very, very important to keep your home updated, to keep it neat and tidy, to do all of the repairs And then to have an agent too that can help you, guide you, and can ultimately negotiate the best price for you as a seller, and also hire the right person to help you buy, because they can help you negotiate on the other end.
Yeah. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Frank and Doran. To the phones we go, all the way to beautiful downtown Renfrew. Say hello to Richard. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Yeah. Hi there. A couple questions for you. I'm not sure the exact terminology, but say something like an open variable as... there's also such a thing as you might have a variable mortgage, but it's for a fixed number of years. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a closed variable. Generally, most lenders, their variables are five-year terms. So, yeah. So it's a closed variable from a standpoint of just like a fixed mortgage, you can't pay it off entirely. It has prepayment privileges. So depending, again, on the bank or lender, it's either between usually 15% or 20% per year.
Yeah.
You can get a completely open, though, mortgage, right?
It's open from a standpoint that you can convert it to a fix. So that's the open part of it. Yeah. You can change it from a variable to a fix at any time without any fees or costs. But it's closed in terms of paying it off before the five-year term is up.
No, our mortgage is basically, it's one of these mortgages you can have different. It's an umbrella mortgage, and you can have different terms and 5 years.
Which bank are you with? Which bank are you with?
Bank of Montreal.
Yeah, Bank of Montreal. Yeah, yeah. So it's an all-in-one product. Almost every bank has it. It's an all-in-one product that you can have a mortgage part of it. They take the equity. They tell you exactly how much they registered for. And then within that frame, you can have a mortgage, a home equity line of credit. Some banks have, you can have a credit card with it, a loan with it. You can have whatever you want. Essentially, the house is the collateral for it.
In other words, it's more of a commercial or a firm type mortgage. So there's probably different things. There's lots of equity there and so on. But
No,
we have a substantial amount coming due in the next, end of this month, and then over the course of the next year or whatever. We're set up at prime, like it's a bank prime, not Bank of Canada prime plus a quarter or whatever.
Right, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's as good as it gets. And just wondering, I haven't checked since these last two increases, but we were quoted about 5 3/4 of a 5-year, which is a little compared to what's renewing 3.some% is like 500,000 renewing or so in a bit and whatever. That's quite a jump. Had the opportunity back in February to pay about an $8,000 penalty and renew for under 4%, but there was a lot of unanswered questions back there. So it is what it is, I guess, really.
5.35 too high, Frank?
Well, 5.75, I think he said. It is too high right now. And you're absolutely right. I mean, boy, I wish we all had that crystal ball. In February, if you had called in February and said, Frank, they want me to pay $8,000 and they're going to give me this rate, I would have said, don't do it, because the anticipation was not for interest rates to increase as quickly as they have. There was no sign of that. Yes, there was sign of inflation, but generally speaking, the Bank of Canada targets inflation in a different way. And it's generally, now again, the war started in February as well, so we didn't know what impact that would have. We hadn't gone through that before, but at the end of the day, it's just bad timing. It's bad luck, bad timing that your mortgage comes up when it does. Yep. It's up to you. I'll restate that if you believe that a recession is coming, then I would say a variable is the best option to go with, because you'll start to see the rates come back down. But if you're really nervous, and again, there's a handful of people that think that rates are going to hit double digits. If you're one of those and you're scared and it's going to keep you up at nighttime, then take the 5-year fix. But I think it's too high. Personally.
Well, I lived through the, I'm a senior citizen, and I was in my late teens and looking after my father's affairs, and we paid 18 and 20% on mortgages back then. No, the thing is, the amounts were smaller.
Yeah,
correct.
Yes, that's right.
So was the income.
That's what I think some people are kind of missing the boat. you're paying 6% on 600,000 is every bit as much as, say, 18% on 200,000. I just haven't done the math, but you know what I mean. Like, you got smaller mortgages at a higher interest rate, or a bigger mortgage at even a 2 or 3% up, your payments are roughly the same. So can you pay $5,000 a month, whether it's, doesn't matter if it's 6% or 16%.
Yeah.
If you can't pay it, you're up the proverbial creek without that paddle.
Plus, we've been paying a whole lot more on principal in the last 2 years, too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing and stuff. So,
thanks, Richard.
Anyway, thanks for the. So the fixed variable is like a 5 year. It's like a 5 year term. You can only convert it to a fixed. But if you I'm almost of the opinion that something's. We'll probably have a couple more increases, but I think there's just too much government debt out there to. Allow things to get out of control. Somebody's going to be, there's going to be some nudge, nudge, wink, wink somewhere along the line that, they keep saying they don't interfere with the Bank of Canada, but somebody's going to be looking across the aisle with some kind of a glassy stare that watch what you're doing sort of thing down the road.
Agreed. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Hey, you know, we never talk about a completely open mortgage, Frank. There's such a thing, right? You just have to pay a little bit more.
There is. You're paying 7-8%. So again, I mean, if you're anticipating that there's big money coming your way for one reason or another, then I would say you go to an open mortgage because, you know, you're going to pay it off and it's short-term pain, but long-term gain. But, you know, there's lots of clients out there. And again, when the interest rates were at 1.5-2%, there were clients that were borrowing the money just to have it, and then they were thinking about looking at investments. Now, for those that went in the stock market, did very well for a number of months. The last 2 months haven't been kind to them, but before that, you know, anybody that borrowed from their home equity line of credit and put it into the stock market and were getting double digit returns on the investment, but only paying 1.5-2% for their money they borrowed, you know, they were doing very well. But again, there's a risk associated to that. You know, if they kept the money in there over the last 2 months, they may have lost everything that they gained. So
what's happening with real estate investment these days, Dora? I bet it's pretty slow, huh?
It is a little bit slower than it's been. Ottawa really benefited from a lot of investors coming to the city in the last few years. And I think investors are a little bit slower to react right now. I think they're waiting to see what is happening with the market, and whether that's someone from out of town or someone who is in town who is looking to diversify, whether, you know, pulling money out of stocks or whatever. I think that there is some hesitancy with investors.
Well, it's no question, right? You think about it, Steve and Dora, you know, if I'm buying an investment property now, if somebody's selling me their townhouse and they're selling it for $650,000, a townhouse that they may have purchased 5 years ago for $350,000, the investor's done very well. The problem is that if it has a tenant that's paying $1,500 a month rent, the issue now is that if I'm going to buy it and I got to assume this tenant at $1,500 because that was the going rate, and I'm not moving into it and I'm thinking about keeping it as an investment property, that tenant has the right to stay in there.
That's right.
So how do I cash flow the mortgage? Like, how can I cash flow that mortgage with rates where they are today? That's the issue. And that's why I think, you know, that's where the hurting is. You know, investment properties generally would go if there was a cash flow neutral or positive element to it. But now that the cash flow is so negative in a scenario like that, I think it's very difficult for investors that are out there that want to buy investment properties to commit to a property like that.
But on the flip side, there are 712 townhomes for sale in the city of Ottawa today, where, you know, 6 months ago, there were maybe 100. And so there are going to be some sellers that need to sell. So if you look at where the prices are and how the prices are softening, there are going to be some investors that, you know, with the rents increasing, if they can take a vacant possession home, there will
Correct.
Be some
That's
who
different.
Will be jumping in.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's different,
right?
That's what I'm saying. If it's currently owner-occupied or
yes.
and they're going to get it vacant, then they get to dictate that they can get $2,400
that's right.
a month,
that's right.
and therefore it becomes more cash flow, you know, maybe neutral. Even if there's negative, it's a little bit. But if you have to assume a tenant at $1,500, that's where that property becomes really tough to sell.
Yeah, those ones we're seeing really go for families,
owners.
Right?
Correct.
Owners.
Yeah.
Nora, what do you say to the fearmongers that are questioning whether or not the market's going to come crashing down?
Well, I don't believe it will. There you go. There's my crystal ball answer. My crystal ball answer. The answer is it is not coming crashing down. If you look at where we are compared to 2020, so two short years ago, in 2021, the average sale price for a residential property was up 26% from 2020. In 2022, the average residential price in June was up 6%. So 26% and 6%. So it would have to come crashing down an awful lot to get back to 2019 pricing. And I think too, we've just normalized. And I know Paul's talked about it. We've talked about it before, that as a whole, Ottawa was a very inexpensive place to live. And we have sort of caught up to where some major centers are. I don't believe it's coming crashing down. I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did, but I don't believe it's coming crashing down at all. I really don't. I mean, it's going to normalize. And as the inventory increases, it will drop a little bit, but then that inventory will get gobbled up. And so I think that we'll see the prices continue to increase, not at the same pace that we've seen them increase.
Well, thank goodness, because if it continued at the same pace, you'd be $2 million for a townhome in 3 years.
That's right. That's right. So more modest increases in pricing, more typical if you look at historical data in Ottawa. And that's, you know, something that is going to take some time to get used to for sellers.
521-TALK, 521-8255. I can't believe we're coming up to our final segment. So much quicker with Dora here. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to Eddie in Ottawa. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Eddie.
Morning.
Question, Mark, to you, Frank, is if you could just kind of explain a little bit more about the interest rates and how much they've actually increased, because you putting it in terms that I don't understand, where you're saying, you know, prime plus this or whatever you were saying, I don't get it. So, like, more specifically, if you could compare to, you know, a few months ago before the first interest rate hike, or if we go back to the last part of last year.
So the prime rate itself, if we just talk about the prime rate in March of 2020 came all the way down to 2.25%. So we had a Bank of Canada prime at 2.25%.
And that means what in the scheme of things, Frank?
So big scheme of things, again, that's what it's based on. So when lenders were lending out, it was 2.45. So 2.45. So if you were getting a mortgage of prime minus one, you were getting 1.45%. So that prime rate when this year began in 2022 was 2.45%. And then we started to see the increases, and the first one was a small one, and then there's been obviously three very big increases since. So now we've seen the interest rates go all the way up to 4.7%, that prime rate. So that's a significant increase. We've seen 0.25%, 0.5%, 0.5%, 1%. So just like that, we've seen prime rate go up 2.25% when it started at 2.45% in January of this year. So that is significant. There was a 1% increase that happened back in 1998. But since then, there hasn't been anything like that. Generally speaking, increases have always been in the 0.25% increments, and decreases have been bigger, but only because crises have happened, like COVID, like the pandemic, like the financial crisis that we went through in 2007, 2008.
Since the lowest time in the pandemic, the lowest rates that we had in the pandemic, so in total, have we gone up 2% in total or what?
We've gone up, if we just speak about prime rate itself, we've gone up 2.25% already, but that's just happened in the last 4 months. So that's significant. You know, when you put it in mortgage terms, it's significant because the average mortgage today in Ottawa is between $400,000 and $500,000. So, you know, all of a sudden you're paying an extra $10,000 in interest for that same product on an annual basis, which is pretty significant.
I wanted to make a comment, if I could, about like how the market is changing and has changed in the last year. So I think, you know, a lot of people panicking about their value of their home dropping this year, but it's like everybody forgot what happened last year. Right after March and April of 2020, the market really stalled back then. Because I remember I had neighbors in my neighborhood who, you know, houses had dropped at least 100,000 from the peak in February. And there was no massive inventory increase. The inventory was still low. And there was no interest rate increase whatsoever. And there was even, there's more, there's more restrictions lifted on traveling this year than there was last summer. So
The only difference this time around is interest rates are high, so those listings are going to hang around for longer, right, Dora?
That's right. That's right. So last year when we saw a bit of a decrease, and we did see a significant decrease in activity last summer, we you know, attribute that a lot to seasonality. So it's very, very typical across Canada for the summer months to be slower. And so we did see that in Ottawa last year. But then because the supply was still so low, the prices really, really started increasing again come the end of the year. The difference between December and January, December 2021 and January 2022 was astronomical. So this year, I think it'll be a little bit different because as Steve said, with the interest rates higher and the uncertainty, you know, is there a recession coming? The cost of living, everything that is different, we're seeing the inventory stay a little bit longer.
Are we going to see people holding off on buying now with talk of recession or until they figure out what's going to happen over the next few months?
It really depends on risk reward and the person. Right. So if you're in a position that you have to buy, you have to move, whatever it is, you're going to go and do remember that, you know, the average person, if they have a, if they've already purchased and they've built equity in the home that they are moving from, if they are first time buyers, then that's a little bit different. But I think really it depends on everybody's individual situation. And there are people right now that are getting into the market. I mean, if you, I did mention the 712 townhomes in the city, 381 of those are under $600,000 right now. So there is opportunity. And if you have the right person helping you and you can navigate and you can watch the trends, there are some really great opportunities to buy. So I would say, and that spurs, you know, more in people wanting to sell when they see the buyers coming. So it's still a really, really great market. It's just not as great as it's been.
Yeah. And pre-approvals, Frank, are we having to get one a week now? It seems to be changing so fast.
Well, if you've been pre-approved 2 months ago, you need to kind of revamp it and at least talk to your bank or talk to your mortgage broker and see whether it's still active, only because now we did have a lender this week, which surprisingly, it was a nice, pleasant surprise. We had a lender that communicated to us that if the customer buys this month, because what they do is they don't change their prime rate until the first of the following month. So there's lenders out there that, good or bad, depending when the rates go up, it's kind of nice. So instead of the rate changing on July 13th on your variable rate mortgage, it doesn't take effect till August 1st, which is really, really good. But they also came out to us and said, listen, if somebody is buying a property and wants a variable rate mortgage until July 31st, if you send us the application, we're going to qualify based on the prime rate before the increase. So that's really good because, you know, the prime rate was 3.7. So if you were getting 1% below prime, it's 2.7. So therefore, the 5.25% qualifying rate that's there right now stands. But if, you know, it's 4.7 less 1, 3.7, and we got to add the 2 on top of that, all of a sudden they got to qualify at 5.7 and they may not qualify. So that was a nice, pleasant surprise that we received from one of the lenders.
The one thing too that I think is important to remember is that there are a whole bunch of folks that have been pre-qualified at a rate prior to this increase. And so those people are in a position where they should go and buy right now, right? So they should go.
The closing date has to be kind of before that 120 days is up. And it's not when you buy, it's when you close. And
close.
A lot of customers sometimes say, well, I got my pre-approval 3 months ago. But if you're closing in the next month, that's good. But if you're closing 3 months from now, it's not good for 6 months. So
true.
All right. Birthdays, Frank.
Got a couple. My niece, Marisa, who used to work there at Bell Media, she's celebrating her 30th birthday. So happy birthday to Marisa. And from my office, Virginia Hyde celebrating her birthday. And my good friends Alfio and Carla celebrating their 35th anniversary this week as well. So happy anniversary to them.
Nice. Dora, got
anything? Wonderful. Nope, I don't. Happy birthday to Colleen Rushforth.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Nice so. Little suck up there. How do we get a hold of you, Dora?
At dora@paulrushforth.com or the office, 788-2122.
And Frank?
Frank N at mortgagebrokersottawa.com. There you go.
Just wanted to hear you sing it. Have a great week, folks.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Continue to support local businesses and charities.